The following is a presentation of Real Racin' USA. The following is a presentation of Real Racin' USA.
It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
Oh my. When we hear that, we know that Stevie LaTemp is not going to be too far out of the corner here. Stevie, is that you coming around the corner there?
Absolutely, guy.
There you are. Welcome to Straight Lining with Stevie, as always, every Wednesday night. Take it away, Stevie.
All right, well, thanks, guy. I'll tell you what. Tonight I have on the air with me Frank Teague out of Hickory, North Carolina. He is Mr. Mopar when it comes to the sportsman drag racers. He is a two-time world champion in top sportsman and one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. And this past weekend, he was kicking butt up at Farmington up in North Carolina. Frank, how you doing this evening?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm right there. I'm always ready to go drag racing. Let me ask you a couple questions first off. Frank, you have a background that's incredible with multiple world championships. How did you ever get involved in the top sportsman ranks? Where did your grassroots come from?
Well, racing was kind of bred into my blood, I think. I'm the only person in my family that actually has got into the racing, but actually with a good friend of mine, Ray Sigmund, that I really started out drag racing with him. I drove an old Demon for him back years ago and started bracket racing and actually run some super stock racing and actually won a super stock race. And we kind of got into a groove that the bracket racing was more my style, and we just hung with the bracket racing. And actually, I've won over a couple hundred bracket races.
Wow. So, not to mention, I knew you were good. Didn't know about the bracket racing deal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, what made you, very successful career in the bracket racing field? What made you step over, and step up to the top sportsman ranks?
Well, the speed and the fun of going fast and fast bracket racing has always been a part of my life. I just want to go fast and I want to win races, and it's just been a thrilling thing to me. The more performance we can make, and in '92, we hooked up with the Kofels place and the engine builders, and this has been great to me. They've stuck with me all through the years, and it's just that has made it just more exciting to me to get to tune the stuff, and they helped me along the way as far as getting the engines where they really perform like they should, and just getting out there and just kicking some butt, like you might say, Steve, just like you put it.
Well, I remember back, we talked about, maybe last year or the year before, that you were having problems finding power in your Mopar, and you said you had to step up, and you were going to do some new things, and I've definitely seen the ETs, steadily falling. What did you and the Kofel Place boys get together and do?
Well, a couple years ago, we sat down and we talked, and we knew it was coming. The class has gotten pretty much to where you're going to have a big motor to run this stuff, and we put together a plan, and the Kofels come through for me, and they've built me a 732, and this thing is making more power than we've ever had before. We hadn't even shown our cards of what this thing will run yet. But, we've already run 690s with it. We're running a moderate system. We do have the two systems from Shannon Jenkins. We've already tested some. We know the car will run even quite a bit quicker, so we're holding our cards, and we're going to be there in the end.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you going to run all the national events again this year?
We're going to run the national events, probably not all of them, but we will run enough to know that we have a good chance at winning the championship, and that's our plan. We're probably going to run about 6 to 7 national events. That's our destiny right now, I think.
Do you have a preference, 8th mile, quarter mile? That's pretty well been a big topic amongst a lot of the drivers, especially with some of IHRA's races going 8th mile at national events now. Which do you prefer?
Well, that's one of the moves, we made years ago to run national events. So that was what interests us the most. was the quarter mile racing, and everybody loves to go watch quarter mile racing. I mean, the fans, they get more out of it. It's a more thrilling, more exciting, more speed. You know, the ETs are there. It's just quarter mile racing to me is just the way to go. I do a lot of eighth of mile racing, but the quarter mile is where my heart is.
Well, this weekend it was eighth mile racing, and you had to take on Ronnie Proctor out of Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, in his Mustang. How did you feel about taking him on? And kind of like, what were you feeling as you're getting ready to roll into those finals, knowing that Proctor can lay a number down? And, of course, you've been on your game, but so had he. What was going through your mind when it was time to get ready to bump into those beams?
Well, Ronnie's a tough competitor. I mean, just like all the rest of the racers. I mean, they're all tough, but you know, Ronnie, he takes his game serious, and he is one of the strongest competitors out there. And I knew he was going to have to be up for a game. And, you know, we just raced hard, and to win that thing with 1/1,000th, it could have went either way. I mean, me and Ronnie put our heart in the final run, and we give the fans a good show. So it was just, I knew it was going to be tough, and just luckily, you know, I prevailed. You know, that's the way it happened.
Well, Jack, did you hear what it took for him to win that race? He won that thing by 1/100,000th of a second. Is that tight or what?
And not even to mention the final round, the semifinal round was 0-0-3.
Holy
that
cow.
That was just as tough. So, that race was really a super tough race for us. I mean, you know, it's one of those weekends where old Tig was driving on his game, you might say. You know, he don't drive good all the time, but he gets his share of them. So I'm fortunate to be that way.
But you definitely were on your game, and like I say, it was some knockdown, drag out, drag racing. I know I like to lost my voice there towards the end. I'm up out of the chair and up against the glass, and I mean I was wound tight, and I thought, boy, oh boy, this is going to be good. And it was really one awesome show. Well, what is next now for Frank Teague? We just got through winning the top sportsman field here this weekend at Farmington, and you went out first round now at Rockingham several weeks back. How does that put you in the points chase, and what do you have to do to hold that lead?
Well, right now, you know, we stand in the second place in our division, and also we stand in the second place in the world. So, you know, we're going to try to stay up on our game and not make the mistakes that we made at Rockingham. I mean, that was totally my fault. I had the car to beat. That track was good. You know, we just couldn't get it together. The driver just wasn't on his plan, and, you know, I messed up. So, you know, if I can keep my head on straight and drive like I'm supposed to, that my crew chief, my wife, she works hard to keep me in line. So, you know, she does a terrific job, and, you know, it's just a wonderful feeling to be able to go back out there and just hammer those guys like I did, you know, at Farmington. So I'm hoping to go into Mooresville as a good spirit and come out on top down there. So that's what we'll try to do is stay up on the top of our game.
You brought up a topic I was just about to get onto, too, and that was the fact about your wife. This gal is right there in the middle of it. Tell me just what are some of the duties that she has to do?
But her biggest duty is keeping me straight. But
other than the impossible,
she is just an awesome, awesome person to come. And I mean, she sticks with me, goes with me. She helps me with the car. She does anything I ask her to do. She's right there to just keep my head on straight. That's the biggest duty she has. But you know, she works just as hard as I do. She's a go getter. She loves drag racing.
Well, you know, one thing I see her down there in the lane, she always has that smile on her face. That is just a very, very, just a super, super lady.
Well, she is a loving wife. I mean, she just, we love being together. You know, we go dancing, we go drag racing. You know, in our off times, we're out having a good time together. We just made a great couple, and we just love each other to death. And, you know, it's just, I couldn't have found anybody any better.
Well, you've got the ideal situation. You have the absolute perfect mate, a wife that loves drag racing, and is a heck of a crew chief. And you're on a streak now. You're right now, after this win coming out of Farmington, if you can match this win, going into Mooresville, you are really, really in a good position to have a shot. I know it's early in the season, but you can start looking at it already. That's a cold card fact. If you get a couple of these pro-ams under your belt, suddenly you become really tough to handle. And I know under pressure, it doesn't seem to bother you. The more pressure is on, the better Frank Teague seems to perform. What are we looking at after going into Mooresville?
Well, we go into Mooresville as an outlook to, we're going down to have fun. We're not going to look at the points right at the moment. I mean, it is important, but we're not really looking at the big picture already because it is real early in the game. But now's when we need to concentrate and, you know, put things together. But, you know, we come out of Mooresville, if we go down there, we win the first round or lose first round. And, you know, it's still, you know, we're going to race, and we'll go to win, and that's the bottom line. And we go there, we'll go to Rockingham, and then we're planning on laying down some pretty good numbers at Rockingham, qualifying good, and, you know, hopefully we'll come out good there. So that's our plan. And, you know, the Copeland's Place engine, it's been running so good. It's just unbelievable. You know, I know you didn't ask me much about the rounds that we shot at Farmington, but this thing run 459s and 160 to win that race.
So, I mean, wow.
That's a lot of miles. In an eighth of a mile at 150 mile an hour. We were the fastest car qualified in that race, and that's, you know, that's saying a whole lot. And I think this run flawlessly.
Now, the air wasn't really that good there, was it?
It wasn't. I mean, you know, it rained Saturday. The humidity was up. You know, it got a little better on Sunday, but it wasn't that great. But, you know, if it had been better, I mean, the car would even flew better. But, I mean, you know, it's just it was just a weekend that, you know, things fell together. You know, I mean, it's just, you have good air, you have bad air. You got to deal with both situations.
Well, let me ask you this. Going into Mooresville, how do the two tracks compare? Farmington versus Mooresville, are there pluses or minuses that you're able to take advantage of, or do you have problems there?
Well, you know, Farmington, my career at Farmington's been really good. They have a 5-second shootout race down there every year. Back years ago, 84 and 85, Frank Teague won back-to-back championships there. And I've also won several bracket races there. And also going into Mooresville. Mooresville's been exceptionally good for me. I've won several division races there and bracket races there, too. So the tracks are pretty equal. I know that they've done a lot of work at Farmington. The track was great. And Mooresville's usually just as good. So I'm looking forward to going into this race and just repeating the exact same things that we've done there. So, and I feel like the car is going to be there, and if I can just stay my head on straight and go down there and do my job, I think everything will turn out just fine.
So the car doesn't look like it has any advantage, you know, as far as, you know, one between the other. It's all going to be up to Frank Teague at the Christmas tree. Is that what it comes down to?
But
can you set that light?
You know, as long as you've been in drag racing, the Christmas tree means a whole lot. But driving the finish line is a lot too. So we're hoping to just go down there and do what I need to do and stay focused on driving the whole racetrack and not just the Christmas tree. Because if you focus too much on the tree, then you won't drive the top end. So you got to focus the whole race.
Well, curiosity, Frank, you talked about racing the top end. Do you like to have the other guy leave on you first? Or do you like to have him have the spot and then run him down on the top end? Or because you're number one qualifier this last race. Naturally, everybody, you were going to go out. You had to chase everybody down. Is that the type of racing that you like to do? Do you like to run them down?
I love chasing them. I mean, that's my style. I mean, I love chasing them. You know, I don't always get to do that at national events, but it's not that big advantage. I mean, as far as an advantage, but I do like running them down. It gives you a little bit of advantage from the tree standpoint because the other guy has the first chance at red light usually. But from this standpoint, you know, I just love going fast. And a lot of times you set your car up to go fast and you try to run it slow, you just actually defeat your purpose of, you know, the car working good. And that car seems to like horsepower. And, you know, we try to run it at a moderate ET, and the car works great from that standpoint. So that's what we look at, and that's what we're going to go in to try to do. just kind of duplicate and stay consistent on what we do, and hopefully it'll turn out okay.
Do you have any competitors out there that you really don't want to square off against?
Funny you ask that. I have a lot of racers out there, you know, that they are tough. I mean, you don't say you hate to run them, but there is easier racers, and you want to try to steer away from them as much as you can till you get to the finals or something of that nature. But I'm not scared of any racer out there. I mean, I love racing them all. It's competition. I love competition. You know, I try to hold that pressure down to a minimum. And, you know, like I say, back when I was bracket racing, it was a whole lot worse than it is now. I mean, we'd go 6 and 7 rounds bracket racing, and some of the top bracket racers in the country, you know, me and Gary Bingham, we squared off, I don't know how many times, bracket racing and stuff. It's just, you know, that part of it don't really bother me that much as far as the car. I just enjoy going out there and not making my mistake and let them make the mistake. You know, I can go out there and race and do my job, then I feel like I'm a competitor that's hard to beat. So that's the way I look at it.
You know, you mentioned the one guy that I kind of consider an arch rival of you, and that is Gary Bingham. Now, Gary Bingham, 3-time IHRA world champion, top sportsman, and also you talked about bracket racing. He's a former world champion in bracket racing as well. Now, I know you guys are friends, you know, out of the race car, but when it's race time, is there any secret you've got to putting him on the trailer?
Well, there's no secret to any race. You know, when we run somebody like Gary Bingham, you know, it's all out. I mean, you know, we're friends. We're the best of friends, and to God be the glory. And that's the way we both look at it. And, you know, we go out there, and we do our jobs as best we know how and get ourselves pumped up to run each other. And when we do that, you know it's going to be a competitive run. And that's what makes racing so much fun. It's just the competitive race to do. You know, it's just fun. You know, you don't worry about the guys you're running. You just get pumped up to running. And that's how you're going to win races. You got to stay in a focused area and pump yourself up to run anybody. But Gary is one of the toughest racers out there. I'll grant you that.
Well, curiosity, when will you get ready to roll into this next race and you go up to the line, I always try to find out what's in the head of a driver before he goes up. When you're in the lanes back there, do you see other things, or are you just totally locked in and concentrated? Do people distract you sometimes as far as people walking by, saying hi, this type of thing? Does that bother you, or how do you get yourself focused to be ready to go? Because I've watched when you do your burnout, you're all business, and you're always dead on, and you have excellent reaction times. Your burnouts are always consistent the same way. There's a system there. But how are you in the lanes? Are you more relaxed in the lanes, or do you kind of get yourself pumped up back in the lanes to where you don't really want to see people, or you don't want to, you know, you want to be focused just on the car? What's going through your mind at that point?
Well, when I'm in the staging, you know, and I'm talking to people and we're doing this and doing that, you know, that's kind of a calm down type for me. But, you know, when I get ready to call us up and I'm in that car and I'm buckled down, then's when my head goes on straight. I mean, you've got to concentrate from that time on. And, you know, as far as talking to people back there in the lanes and stuff like that, that just kind of calms me down. That don't bother me at all. And I know Ted May, I know you remember him. He used to try the head games and stuff like that. Well, that stuff don't work on me. But, you know, that was some of the stuff that was tried, you know. I'm sure racers do that, you know, to try to psych you out or whatever you might say. But when I get in that car, I mean, it's pretty much over with in that standpoint. I get in that car, I am, like you say, I'm in the zone, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do the best I can. It may not be real good sometimes, but I do the best I can at that moment.
Well, Frank, I'm almost out of time, but I want to ask you one more question.
Okay.
When you get ready to go in, you light that first pre-stage, and the other guy lights the first pre-stage, do you want to go in first, or do you want to go in last on that final bulb?
That is a lot of deals to who you run. A lot of times I like to see the other car stage first to turn the first pre-stage on. But in instance, sometimes I'll go in first and try to bump in quick. It really depends on a lot of times on who I'm running, but there again, you got to really focus on what you're going to do against which driver you're racing against. And, you know, in some ways it's an advantage, some ways it's not. So I do like the other man to bump in first.
Most of the drivers that I've talked to like to go in last. And personally, it didn't matter. I would go right on in, no problem, and then they could go in as they wanted. But I've seen a lot of burn downs, and we had three or four of them that started to become burn downs out there, but it was so cool, I think they would have ran out of gas if they ever got hot. But I was just curious, would you get involved in a burn down just to be the man that goes in last?
Well, that's that has come about. And my wife, she's
back there shaking her head now.
Probably. This happened about a year ago. You know, I don't even remember who I was running. But anyway, I was determined that I was going to stay last. And we sat there and we sat there. And I think it was a rocking amp. And we sat there and we sat there a long time. And finally we staged and we raced. And I really don't even know the outcome. But I come back and my wife says, "Do you not know how to stage the car?" I said, "Hey, it was my game, it was my run, and I want to do it the way I'm going to do it." You know, and that's the bottom line. That was it, and that's all we talked about. But you've got to make up your mind what you're going to do before you go to that start line. And if it's a point to where you're going to stage last, or if you're thinking that you're going to go up on stage and let him wait a little bit, and then you're going to go on in, then that's fine. But that's what I do. I do a game plan. And that's if you stick to your game plan, you usually come out ahead. Once that game plan is changed or the other driver can make you do something you don't want to do, then the outcome comes out different. And that's the way I look at it.
Well, Frank, time has flown by here. I guess we just got through traveling 1,320 feet at probably about 190 mile an hour now, because it's come that time I got to turn you loose and send you back to the pits. We've got to get ready for the next guest on here. Frank, I want to thank you so very much for taking your time out tonight and to coming on the show. And I wish you all the best. I wish I was going to be at Farmington, at Mooresville, but I won't be doing that race. So I'll just wish you all the best from right here, right now, and I will see you down the road for sure. So I wish you good luck. And, again, thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. Frank Teague, ladies and gentlemen, two-time world champion, top sportsman. Just don't get much better than that. What do you think on that, Jack?
I appreciate you having me on the show, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful talk.
Well, thanks for coming on, guy.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
I'll see you. Bye.
All right. Jack, what do you think about that?
Hang on a second here. Okay, Stevie, here's the deal now. Didn't you tell me that this was Frank's, one of his first interviews?
Yeah.
Well, he did pretty damn good.
Well, I think he does pretty damn good on just about anything he sets his mind to.
I think so, too. He's got a really good attitude, no doubt about it. So what do we have now? We're going to come back with John Cabral.
Yeah, you know, John usually is kind of a crazy character, and I mean that in a good way.
Yep.
And because he's the one that he has a boat.
It's a big pontoon go-fast boat.
A pontoon boat?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. If you remember, we talked with him last year, and I haven't had a chance to see him this year yet, but the All-Hawley Drag Racing Association is going west, and we're going out to Arizona, and John Carrell will be there. He is the champion in S&S Supersport in the Harleys, so quite a character. I'm hoping he's feeling better tonight, you know, so we can hear some of those crazy stories that only John Cabral can come up with.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with John Cabral.
Sounds good.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brake Man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brake Man Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brake Man. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pourer.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pourer.
What do you do with a master's degree in art history? You get a nose ring and pour coffee for a living.
Pour it on now.
Why is it called a latte? Maybe because it costs a latte, and it takes a latte time to make.
A whole lot of latte.
Someone ordered a cappuccino? Step aside. Let the man who works the milk foamer take over.
Step aside.
Sure, you charge $5 for a cup of coffee. It's putting that tip jar out that takes real guts.
Yeah.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, guru of the ground roast. It's not the caffeine that gives us the buzz. It's you.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop. Coffee.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Welcome back to Straight Line with Stevie, and I think we hooked up Stevie with John Cabrell. Let's see what we got with that. Got it, Stevie?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And John, I have John on the line right now, and he is still under the weather. We talked about that earlier. The flu's kind of bit him a little bit, but I really appreciate John. I appreciate you coming on this evening, especially with you feeling bad. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, there was a lot going on over the winter. You know, you made the statement that your V-Rod Destroyer was going to go 880s. And you had plans to push the envelope even further, maybe, by turbocharging your Destroyer. Tell me, did you get the turbocharger on that baby?
Yes, we did. We got the turbocharger on it we've been doing it for the past year. We had it all there, had the motor all redone. We had to degrade the cams. We had to do a lot, get change of pistons. And it's a beautiful package. You'll see American Turbo Power with us, Harry Gunson. He should be there in Arizona. We'll have it there. Well, it hasn't been down the track yet. Been on the dyno. Over 200, I'll tell you that right now. But over 200 to the rear wheel. That's probably, you know, with like, I think it 20 pounds boost. We're gonna make, I believe it could go 860s. We'll have to just see what it'll do.
Holy smokes! 860s?
Yes, I think it can. This one lighter, wider. It won't be me on it. It'll be the lighter guy. I'm 250. With me on it, it'd probably be an 890, probably. I'm hoping that's what it'll do with me on it right there, because I'm heavy. I'm like 250. But we're going to go with the lighter rider on it for the big. We've been 880s with a nitrous shot. What we did, you know, you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to do no aftermarket on that. On the V-Rod Destroyer, but also I can't run the V-Rod Destroyer class because I weigh too much. So there's no sense of even trying to. So I went and put a nitrous shot on it by Boss Noss, Jim, out there, Boss Noss. And we put a 50 shot. So the bike dynoed at 153, and we put a 50 shot. So that would be 203. At 203, I went 908. So we stuck the next guy on it, the lighter guy on it, like an L.E. Connell, a little guy like him on it. It went 880s in Texas. So we knowing at 203 horsepower, we could go 880. So we know we got above 200 horsepower on this bike right here.
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. And we'll be back in the Super Sport division.
Yes. Well, what I like about this thing right here, it's all programmable wastegate. I could set it for my E. I could set it for, you know, 5 pounds throughout the run. I could shut every gear, whatever boost, whatever I wanted at. So I can run the 10. I can run a 10:30 class. Probably with motor alone, less pistons. Now I'm hoping the bike really. I'm gonna have a high. I got a higher gear ratio on it. The bike should get a lot of mile an hour, so it should lug down. It should lug down and slow me down in the 10:30 class. I was always fast, and I won that pretty good last year. So with the turbo setup now, now all I got to do is just I could put a couple buttons in. I could go to 970, and then when I want to go to 8 second, I jump into ET class. So I could run the three classes, run the ET and try to run an 890 with it, run the 970, probably run 15 to 20 pounds boost, and run between 5 and 10 pounds boost for the 1030 class. You know, but those
all out of one bike.
All out of one bike. That's what's so nice about the programmable wastegate. You don't even have to have the bike already. We already know the bike already runs low 9. I mean, but with me on it, I'm a heavy guy. So the bike, the Harley made it get it real good with that bike. That bike was a 964. I've been the best on it. Motor alone. So with us putting, you know, with my weight, most of the time I run 980s on that bike. So with a different gear ratio, it's going to slow me down more, and a different piston will slow me down even more because, you know, that's why I'm slowing down for the 1030 class. But then when I want to lay some boost into it, I can go it up to the 970 and then ET for, like, get an 8 second pass in it.
That's you're going to be one of the guys I'm going to be following whenever we get out to Arizona Bike Week Nationals out in Phoenix. So that's going to be a lot of fun. One bike, three classes. The ET separation, huge difference on ET and mile per hour these classes. And what you're telling me, it's just as simple as changing a chip.
But actually, not change the chip.
Class to class.
Yeah, right on my handlebars. Remember, give me some help this week, and give me a little time this week. Remember, this is going to be the first time on the track, so we're going to do a little bit of tuning, getting the fuel curve a little better. We did the best fuel curve we can on the dyno, and we're here, we're in California versus Arizona. The air should be the same. We should be able to get it not to break up. Everything should be cherry, getting the boost in certain spots. But the whole thing is you have a waste controller right on the handlebars, and you punch in first gear, punch in 3 or 4 pounds. It'll hit second gear. It'll punch in five or six pounds in it. So it's all about just right in front of you. You just change it real fast right there on the handlebar. That's simple.
Whenever I get out there, you've got to show me how you got this thing set up. I want a grand tour through how you got this system set up. It almost sounds so simple that nobody's seen it before. It's just been right there, and nobody's...
Well, All the big cars, all the car run guys, they all use that. All your big guys, you guys that you do all those big races, Stevie, those turbo guys' cars,
mm-hmm.
they got to use a programmable wastegate because if they try to shoot, they use it by seconds. You can also do it by seconds. I can make it come in at 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. I can make it fade in, you know. But right now, I got it on shift mode. I'll have it on shift mode. But all those guys, they all have it all set up. When any of those guys are making, you can't put 20 pounds at the line because it'll just blow the tire off. So you go put 5, 10 pounds. You find out how far you can go with it. We're going to try 10 pounds boost off the line, get it out there, start dropping another 5 in the next gear, another 5 in the next gear, and shoot it out the other end. You know what I mean? But that's the whole thing. We just got to see where the tire stops spinning at out of the launch. And that's it. But every one of the big cars, you know, that's just like a clutch setup they do in a tough fuel thing. They do a clutch setup.
Oh, yeah.
Same
with
thing.
Timers, yeah.
You're doing a timer on a boost controller. This boost controller allows you to do it by time or by shift, and I have it on shift point right now.
Curiosity, one thing you were struggling with, because we talked about it several times, and that was on the launch, leaving the line. You've been working on that over the winter.
Yes, sir. I mean, I didn't work on it a whole bunch yet. I've been trying with a new pro stock bike. I bought a pro stock bike, and Suzuki pro stock bike.
Brand X.
Huh?
Brand X.
Yeah. So I bought a Suzuki Pro X bike, and I've been playing with that. But you know, like you said, we don't want to tell too many people about what the secret is. But if they watch us, they'll see, and if they see our reaction times, they're doing pretty good. They keep an eye on what we're doing out there. That's the deal. I don't want to tell anybody what we're doing right there at the line. And if the whole thing is if you have to leave the line first. You leave the line first, you're going to win the race. I mean, as long as your bike is running, especially in your ET bracket, your bracket classes and stuff, your 1030, your 970, you've got to leave first. You have to. If you leave second, you almost lost the race.
Well, just to change the topic just a little bit, what have you been doing with your boats?
Like you guys gave me the jinx. It's been sitting, like you said. It's been on the back burner. So our last interview was probably in October, so it's all weather. It's sitting right here, covered up, ready to go. You know what I mean? I mean, if we were allowed to pull three trailers, I'd pull right behind the trailer then. We'd have all three pulling down the road, and they know we have a show there. You know what I mean? But, I can't wait to get it back on the water. I mean, that is something else. That magic boat is just that thing's just a ball.
Well, I know. I think, Jack Smith, he was just fascinated with your boat. He went on your site, and he told me, he said, you just won't believe this thing, Stevie. I said, oh, yes, I would. I'm starting to get to know John pretty good. And you just love speed. It's probably about the best way to put it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we've been with the turbo bikes a lot. Like, I got a bunch of turbo. I got Turbo Busa, a Turbo ZX14. I got the Turbo Bagger. I just won. I went to Gainesville, Florida. We went to Florida, but we didn't go to the races because my buddy, American Turbo Power, they like to do a booth in Bike Week Daytona. So we go out to Bike Week and went out there, and we went over to the Horsepower Shootout. And you remember, a Harley Davidson, I have a bagger, ultra-classic bagger, my very first bike I bought. And if you go to the board, if you go to Wild Tech, and you go to the Horsepower Shootout and look it up for John Cabral and Barbara Cabral, first and second place, 239 horsepower on an ultra-classic.
You got a great day.
An Ultra Classic came with 64 horsepower.
Holy smokes. That's literally, what, almost, well, 3.5 times the horsepower.
3.5 times the horsepower. And it was only making 16 pounds boost. This bike was going to make 260 horse. It was blowing out the side of the head. The head gasket, I couldn't get the head to tighten down. The copper roll ring wasn't tightened down good enough. But it was seeping out the side, and it made 239. I made 242 in Long Beach, California. But I know the bike can make 260 horse. We got an FXR turbocharged. We have a ZX12, ZX14. Got an Eagle, a Road King turbocharged. We got it all brands. It's my buddy where he's trying to sell these turbocharged bikes and stuff. I'll put them on your bike. I got stock bike. We put them on a stock bike, a stock standard bike, a Twin Cam 88 bike. And we put like 110, 115 horsepower just to bolt on a regular 62 horse, and we'll jump it up to like 110, 115 horse. This will bolt on.
We, over many years, nobody could get the turbo to work right. They had problems with these wastegates and everything, and the turbos were doing a lot of damage. But it seems like now they have this management system, and they're really able to get a handle on the turbos. And now the bikes are really taking big advantage of it. I never thought I'd see the day that Harleys were running turbos and generating the kind of power they are. And you guys don't seem to be damaging the bikes anymore. They're taking this boost, and they're handling it. Although head gaskets, I think, is a problem in anything.
Yeah. Well, we've actually, like we said, we took the Byron Hines helped us out. My buddy's friend with Byron Hines on the bottom of the V-Rod Destroyer. We redid the bottom. We put Carrillo rods in it. These rods, I cannot believe it. I mean, I can't wait to really rev this bike in the revving. Each rod weighs at least a half a pound less. So spinning weight. A half a pound less versus the stock rod. The stock V-Rod rods are heavy. They are solid. I put brand new Carrillo rods in it so we could lay some boost into it. We could lay 30 pounds boost into it. You know, we could lay 30 into it. We got it all. We got the bottom end design. We got the rods. We got the crank done on the bottom. We got it all tied in tight. And the rods, when I felt the rods, they're at least a half a pound less than the Carrillo rods. So, I mean, what a difference in horsepower. People are going to be able to rev. I mean, the V-Rod, they're not allowed to do anything in the V-Rod Destroyer. But if you want to take that bike and you want to run it with other classes and stuff, there's so much to do in there. And rods, there's a lot of, I think that bike's going to rev really well.
I have no idea. I was talking away, and all of a sudden the operator said, if you'd like to make a call. And I thought, uh-oh, I have a major problem. I got a guy in California that's wondering, what the hell am I talking to?
I got redial real fast.
All right, the miracle of cell phones. It all working now.
There we go.
You just visualize, John visualizes, Jack Smith, the gentleman on the other end of the line, who's controlling the whole show, just lost about 5 locks of hair. He's pressing buttons like machine guns, trying to dial and trying to get everybody hooked back up again.
Luckily, I have plenty to lose, Johnson. No problem.
Hey, we did that quick.
That was quick.
Oh, yeah, he's quick. This has happened before. Why? Who knows? It's one of those things. You got to remember, I'm up here in South Carolina, and, we don't have a lot of phones up here.
Yeah.
In the woods, I guess you might say.
Yeah. Did you do a lot of races during the winter? Did you do a lot of stuff?
I was going all winter long, and I was racing even all the way to we had a New Year's Day race even. So racing doesn't stop for me.
There it goes. There you go. Good deal.
And we had a really neat show, and this is something I would like to see more of the Harley guys get involved in. I don't know how it is out there, but we had the opportunity to be in several car shows.
Yeah.
And the Harleys were really nicely represented up in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Really?
Expo up there. And, boy, you couldn't believe the people who came by to look at the Harleys. I think this is going to be a good season on the East Coast. I don't know how you feel about the West Coast. What do you think is going to happen out there this year? I know a couple races we won't be back, out there for whatever reason.
You know what? I just want to thank God for everything. I thank everybody for the few races that we do got, the bad things that happened. You there still, Stevie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the few things that happened with Vegas and other places I don't know. You know, I mean, I just really appreciate the things that we can race, the ones that we doubt here. The price of fuel is going to make it rough on everybody. I've already heard the rumors. So, I mean, don't want to, you're just hoping the price of fuel will come down so people can race themselves. That makes it real tough,
Well, John, one of the things that everybody's got to do, it's going to involve teamwork to make the racing series a success, to where a lot of riders are going to have to team up, and they're going to have to piggyback their rides, to and from the bikes are going to have to go into one trailer, and they're going to have to share expenses.
Get to know each other a little more.
Well, it will bring family closer together. It really will.
Exactly. Hey, let me thank a couple people here first real quick.
Absolutely.
I got Dan Panisi, a kid who rides with me. He'll be in Arizona. He's a teammate. He works with me. He was a sidekick. He works with all my bikes. He's my other pick guy. I got Harry Gunson, American Turbo, where it helped building the bikes and engineering all the stuff. I got Jim at Boss Noss that he built a nitrous system and put that together and worked out real good. He'll be out in Arizona displaying some nitrous systems that he does for bikes. I got my wife and my mom and Bob and her husband and just my family. And just everybody helped us support to help us let us race it. Thank you. And yourself, HDR Chapel, the Chapels, Bill and everybody there, all the ladies, everybody puts on the work there for us. We thank you all.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is always a joy to talk with you at the racetrack and to do interviews with you. For a guy that's got the flu, as soon as I start talking about Harley, you just start picking the pace up. Now, I hate to tell you this, but it's time for me to let you go, and I know you're going to go back to the flu again. But I really enjoyed you on this show tonight. I do want to thank you for coming on. It is always a pleasure, and I really look forward to seeing you out there in Arizona. Absolutely.
Okay, remember my best runs are in the 60s, so I'll be working my way down from 960 my way down. Give me a little time on that bike, and I should be able to get it right in the 8s.
And I got faith, I got faith.
You keep an eye on
Ladies and gentlemen, there he is, your current SNS, the Super Sport Champion for the All-Day Drag Race Association, John Cabrera. Thanks for coming on, John.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Well, Jack?
Yes, sir.
So a little bit of Harleys tonight, a little bit of IHRA. Coming up next, we're getting ready to talk to one of the track promoters who has got a show up in Roxboro, North Carolina. That is, it is the 45th annual. Now think about this. For 45 years, they have had the Easter Bash going down at Roxboro Dragway. And we'll have him on here, too. I'll talk about it. And Alan Carpenter is the man that runs Roxboro. He's a fascinating individual, a great promoter, just a really nice all-around guy.
Cool.
Go on next.
We'll be right back. Straight Lining with Steve.
Yeah. Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Dygert from Keels and Wheels Magazine. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pourer.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pourer.
What do you do with a master's degree in art history? You get a nose ring and pour coffee for a living.
Pour it on now.
Why is it called a latte? Maybe because it costs a latte, and it takes a latte time to make.
A whole lot of latte.
Someone ordered a cappuccino? Step aside. Let the man who works the milk foamer take over.
Step aside.
Sure, you charge $5 for a cup of coffee. It's putting that tip jar out that takes real guts.
Yeah.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, guru of the ground roast. It's not the caffeine that gives us the buzz, it's you.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop, Coffee
Bud Light Beer at Isaac Bush, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, this is Straight Lining with Stevie. And, hey, Stevie, we're having a little bit of trouble there trying to track down Alan Carpenter, but do you have some news items that you, some things you want to talk about? And I'll see if I can track him down on our other line.
Well, absolutely, Jack. You know, one of the things I will tell fans, we have had problems this evening, and if you've watched the weather, there's this huge front that's been coming across the United States. It has arrived in South Carolina, believe me. So we've got wind, we've got rain, and it's up North Carolina as well. We've lost phone connections once so far. Just going to be one of those nights. Now, this weather should be long gone for this weekend, when March 22nd, 23rd, up in Roxboro, North Carolina, Roxboro Dragway. I owe them an apology, because I kept saying it was the 45th annual. And it's not the 45th, it's actually the 48th. This is one of the longest-running events, perhaps in drag racing. I mean, there's a few more out there, but it's one of the elite, where every Easter, they get together, and they have the Easter Bash, and it's absolutely a crazy, crazy race. You'll see anything from 200-mile-an-hour jet cars to funny cars. And this year, they brought in what they call the Pro Top Outlaws, and been told that there could be as many as 22 of them there. And what these guys are, they're blown and injected alcohol-burning dragsters. These guys will run small blocks, big blocks, Chryslers, Chevrolets, and ETs, incredible. They'll drop into the 380s in the eighth mile. And, I mean, and these are not professionals by any means. These are guys that, with regular jobs, and just some extremely fast sportsmen, guys. And talk about a show. If you enjoy blowers, you like to watch, hear those motors, go rumpity, rumpity, rumpity. They're backing them out from these huge burnouts. Boy, Roxborough is going to be the place. You talk about a bunny rabbit hopping. It's going to be a lot of hopping going on at Roxborough this weekend. And so they've got jet cars down there. And I guess they do have funny cars. Charlie Gambino, one of my heroes, I guess, a young man out of Florida, last year came up there and for Easter. Back in the old days, they used to do what they called dry hopping. And he did a burnout. And it's an eighth-mile drag strip, and then it goes for about 300 feet, and then over a gradual hill to where the cars go out of sight. Charlie assured me he was going to burn out the entire length of the track. At the eighth-mile mark, he still had the tires lit. This is on the burnout. I thought the race was over. There's no way he can come back. This man backed up, I'll bet, 40 miles an hour with no exaggeration, back to the line, and I thought, Charlie, you better get that thing up on the line or you're going to run out of fuel. But he wasn't done yet. He rolled forward after he put it in gear and bounced all four wheels off the ground. This is happy Easter, Charlie Gambino. And he bounced that baby just like a rabbit. Put it on the line and ran a jet funny car. And when they went across the traps, both of them went across at 390. Both of them now, and both of them hit 200 miles per hour. I just couldn't believe it. I thought that motor had to be toast after making that run. But he did a great job. And he's going to be back again. So we're going to see some crazy stuff from Charlie Gambino up there. And, of course, these outlaw guys, some huge, anything from a Hemi to a small block Chevrolets. And some of these small blocks, I just don't know how they keep the rods in those things because they really, really beat them hard. And it will be a wild show. And that's coming up at Roxborough here March 22nd, 23rd, along with a big bracket race. And I think they're paying like $3,000 to win. So that'll bring in a bunch of fast, fast bracket cars. But just a great show. We even have an Easter egg hunt for the kids up there for this weekend. I think that's kind of cool. So there's plenty of things to do for the kids. And so, Mom, you should have a good time up there. Dad, you're going to see all the racing you could ever want about any type of vehicle on the planet will be in there racing. That's going to be up at Roxborough coming up this weekend. And I'm the lucky guy that gets to do the announcing there. I can't wait because this is an eighth-mile all-concrete surface, one end to the other. These guys will absolutely fly. This track's been around forever. I think it first got started back in 1960 with red clay. And, that's one of the things that a lot of the tracks in the South in the old days were actually clay tracks. They didn't have the asphalt back in the late 50s and even into the early 60s. I know there's a track called Mooresville. You heard me talk about Frank Teague going to Mooresville. Well, 1959, Mooresville wasn't the entire track was red clay. And so you'll see a lot of that in the old southern tracks down here. But they're still here, and they're still putting on great shows. So this weekend, you just don't want to miss out. Eighth-mile racing at its best. If those 22 blown alcohol dragsters show up, that is a huge, huge field of three. And these guys run threes. I mean, they are flying. So a three-second field, you're going to have 2 8-car fields qualifying. So 16 cars will qualify in two races. And those that don't, the rest will come out to qualify, and then naturally they'll be back on a trailer to watch the eliminations go down. Should be a wild, wild weekend.
Steve?
Fun. That's coming up at Roxborough, and unfortunately, looks like we're not able to get old Alan Carpenter tonight.
No, I'll tell you, though, Stevie, I'll tell you, I was just looking at the radar. It's North and South Carolina are getting hit with some pretty good stuff right now.
Oh, listen, that's probably why we lost connections earlier, because it's been beating on the window here.
Sure.
Just pouring down here.
So let me ask you something now. Now, on the all-Harley drag racing side of the ledger here, has there been any? What are some of the surprises? What would you say has been a big surprise you've seen thus far, as things start shaping up here?
Well, it's very early yet, but there are going to be some upsets here. I really expected to see several different individuals win right off the bat, and it didn't happen. I don't really want to name names or anything, but we have some new hitters that are here to play hardball. And we talked about it, I think, on last week's show on some of the riders that are starting to show some really, really, you know, great racing coming up. So I think we have a lot of new young blood coming into this thing. I think we're going to see a lot more racers piggyback to where they work together as a team to get their bikes to and from the race, and which is probably a good thing as far as making our family strong and keeping everybody together. But it will also help with the money situation. Now, you know, the guys with the cars can't do what the guys with the bikes can. You could put 2, 3, 4 teams into one
sure,
and get from point A to point B. Well, you know, that's not going to happen with the cars. So the cars they have a problem. Fuel costs. I talked to somewhere diesel fuel. It was up in New York somewhere. It was $4.79 a gallon already.
Now there is one drag racing team that can do the piggyback thing, and that's that Jerry Lewis dude with the Volkswagens.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything from him, and he's somebody we need to see. He got that thing in the nine.
Amazing.
And how low can he go with a? Remember, that was a street driven VW.
Sure enough,
that was extremely impressive.
He's from up in Maryland, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to get him on and see where he's at and just what's been going down with him.
Yeah.
In the Harleys, well, you know, we already talked just a little bit about, you know, some of them. Terry Stewart, wow, what a great start for him in Cresto Pro Drag. I mean, this guy, he's on fire this year. Rick Moore, always tough. And Rick Moore, also on fire. We saw Moore in three different classes go to the finals. And I mean, wow. James Serber. Here's the dark horse. Last year, he was third when he finished in the points, but just couldn't win that race no matter what. Greg Krennic was one of the dominant factors that ended his career frequently at these races. Well, this year, Serber evened the score up on that first race in S&S Pro Stock, where he put Krennic on the trailer, and Serber showed huge power gains. So Serber's found a lot of power. And I think he could be one of the big upsets coming about in the S&S Pro Stock class. So it's going to be an interesting thing to watch. In Top Fuel, Mark Connor out of St. Louis got the job done this year. The ones that we are used to hearing, those names didn't come about this year. Just like the Bulldog, Jay Turner.
Yeah.
He went out. Just go right on down the list. And, a lot of them that you expect to see, you know, in the finals, did not make it. And,
yeah, but it, like you said, it's early.
That's right. He's making his score, and I'll tell you what happens. You got to strike fast. If you strike fast and you get momentum, you're going to be tough to catch. If guys like Connor can go out there and have a good weekend and do it again out in Arizona, holy smokes, it gets really tough on it. Your past record is your past record. Your future, anything goes. And in a drag race, as you know, it's just two riders out there or two drivers out there, whether it be in the Harleys or whether it be IHRA.
And this is one of the best places to keep up with, get up close and personal to the stars on not only the IHRA, but the All Harley Drags here on Straight Line with Stevie every Wednesday night. And Stevie, you know, of course, people can always send you an email directly, or they can send one to feedback@realracingusa.com, and it'll get to you. And if you got a guest that you want to have come on, talk to Stevie. And it's about that time, I guess.
Yeah, I would love, you can reach me at my email address at LETEMPT, that's S Letemp, @sc.rr.com. Send me emails, guys, and I'd love to talk with you. If you've got somebody you want to put on the show, tell me about them. By golly, we'll make it happen.
All right, Stevie. We'll until next week, next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Say goodnight, Stevie.
Guys, drag drag racing. There's absolutely nothing like it in the world.
There you
Take
go.
Take care.